When I was in high school, my senior year, I took up the hurdles. And that was something that I enjoyed doing. I've been doing track all my life. And this particular year, I took up the hurdles, and we had a particular dual meet. I grew up in Portland, Oregon, so it was not uncommon that it was raining during the track meet. The rain stopped just as the hurdles were getting ready to start. So crouched down, got into the starting position, you know, ready, set, and bang, the gun goes off, and off we take. We're going over the first hurdle, no problem at all. Second hurdle, third hurdle. By the time we got to the fourth hurdle, I felt something wrong with my shoe on my left foot. On the fifth hurdle, I was just a little bit ahead of the runner for Sunset High School. And on that fifth hurdle, my shoe on my left foot went flying off of my foot. So now I've got a choice. What am I going to do? Because when I came up, and the first couple of steps when you're running the hurdles, your head is down, but then you get up into your running position, and your focus is on the finish line. You don't actually look at the hurdles that are there. But my shoe flew off, and I now had a choice as to what am I going to do? Do I focus and finish? Nobody would have blamed me if I would have just stopped, because, again, running down the rest of the run, the track with a soggy sock, that wasn't going to be very much fun. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It was brought up in the sermonette, but we'll get things started there today. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. I'll tell the rest of that story at the end of the sermon. Hebrews chapter 12, and here, starting in chapter 1, because our life is like a hurdle race. We move from the start line to the finish line, and there are obstacles that are in the way. Now, we can choose to try to run around them, go over them, go through them, but most people don't see beyond that hurdle that's right in front of them. We, as Christians, must overcome these obstacles, oftentimes unexpectedly placed in front of us by Satan, and he places them there to be able to see, will we choose to persevere? Will we choose to overcome and complete the race? Or can he take us off that course? Hebrews chapter 12, and starting in verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith and overcoming. That's what I'd like to talk about today. Two points with enduring perseverance that leads to overcoming and undying faith. Faith that knows without any hesitation, but knows without hesitation the obstacles that are put there, that we focus on the finish line. We don't just focus on the obstacle, the trial that is there right in front of us day in and day out. One of my favorite sayings is, only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible. We have been called to see the invisible because we will be a part of the impossible, which is going from physical to spiritual life. So today I'd like to bring out two vitally important aspects of a Christian life to help us be able to overcome Satan and be a part of the family of God. And that is undying faith and enduring perseverance. Undying faith and enduring perseverance. Real faith. Overcoming. Faith that truly leads to action, not just a feeling, not just an emotion. These two aspects are brought out in what's called the Stockdale Paradox. That was made popular by Jim Collins in a book, a business book called Good to Great. Many great principles in there, but this one applies to us as Christians. And here's what that Stockdale paradox is. It's titled, retain faith that you will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties. So again, retain faith that you will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, and for those with the A-type personality, I'll be saying it several times throughout the sermon, so you get a chance to get all of it. So retain faith that you prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. That is having faith and overcoming, and that faith leading to action. So let me tell you a little bit about Stockdale. Admiral Jim Stockdale was the highest ranking U.S. military officer in the Hanoi Hilton prisoner camp in the Vietnam War. Tortured over 20 times over the 8 years that he was there. He was there from 1965 to 1973. Stockdale lived out the war with no prisoner rights, no set release date, no certainty at all that he would survive. In fact, he saw many that died that were standing right alongside of him the day before. He shouldered the burden of command because even though he was now in a prisoner of war camp, he still took on that leadership role to be able to help others. Due to the increase in the number of survivors that were unbroken, the fighting captors kept from being used as propaganda, and he helped them do that because they wanted to send some reels of television shots back to the U.S. as propaganda to say, hey, we're taking care of the prisoners very well. But no certainty that he would survive. So when he was brought up and going to be used for part of this propaganda, he actually beat himself up with a stool so he had bruises. He cut himself with a razor that they had to be able to shave with, that they gave him to shave with, so that they couldn't use him as that propaganda. So he also developed an elaborate communication system because one of the things that they did with the prisoners was they tried to isolate them and keep them so they could not talk to one another. And this in itself was very mentally challenging to anybody. So he developed a system based on a 5x5 grid where 1-1 was A and 1-2 was B and so on to be able to get that through. And C and K were the same one if you're trying to figure out 5x5 is only 25 letters. So they actually enjoyed this so much and it helped their mental makeup so much that when they were out mopping one day, they all got in sync and they mopped out, "We love you," to Stockdale because he was helping them through that. Now when they would go in and they would be tortured, Stockdale also knew that people couldn't handle being tortured forever. If there was no end in sight or no steps to be able to increase and improve, then people are going to mentally lose it, and that's what caused many of the problems and led to a lot of death in the prisoner camps. So the bleak and uncertain outcome that was there, he said, all right, when you get to this point, then you give them this information. And then they could see, they could hold on for a longer period of time, knowing that, all right, all I have to do is hold out for this amount of time, and then I can give them some information, and they'll be happy with that. After his release, Stockdale wrote a book with his wife called In Love and War, an interesting book because they alternated chapters. So one chapter of what he was going through and one chapter of what she was going through while he was in the prisoner camp. Bleak and uncertain as to the outcome of what's going to happen. When asked by a group of reporters, how did he deal with prison, not knowing the outcome? And the key is not knowing the outcome because we know what the outcome is. We know because of God's awesome master plan that he's given us through the holy days, we know what that awesome plan is and that we will be a part of the family of God. But his comment was, I never lost faith in the end of the story. Never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end to turn the experience into a defining part of his life, a defining moment in his life, which in retrospect, he said, he would not trade. Can you imagine that? 8 years in prison, being tortured 20 times, and he said, I would not trade that in for what I learned from that. Next, he was asked the question, who didn't make it? A common question would be, wouldn't it? Who didn't make it when you were in the prisoner camps? And he didn't even hesitate, and he said, oh, it was the optimists. So when I read that, it was kind of hesitant, the optimist, but then he went on, he said, the optimists were the ones who said, we're going to be out of here by Christmas. And Christmas would come and Christmas would go. Then they'd say, oh, we're going to be out of here by Easter. Easter would come and Easter would go. Oh, we're going to be out of here by Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving would come and go. And then they lost heart. And he said, that's what led to their perish, their death when they were in the camp is they died of a broken heart, is what he said. But it was because they couldn't mentally take it. They couldn't mentally stand there. So then they asked, who are the ones that survived? And what was the key to that survival? And Stockdale said, it's real simple. One point. One word. Faith. Stockdale's final reflection, his key more than survival skill was this. Faith enabled him to truly live in and through his grueling ordeals. Is it not the same for us as Christians? It's that faith, that undying faith, that living faith that allows us to go through the difficulties, allows us to be able to overcome, to be a part of the family of God. So this was an important lesson that he had. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with faith which you cannot afford to lose, and neither can we, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. The difference between optimism and faith. Faith is you're willing to confront those brutal facts, whatever they are, the trials that we have, the difficulties that we have in life. We're willing to confront those, that being our current reality, rather than just trying to set them aside and, oh, I'm just going to be optimistic that this is going to go away. So the first thing is we retain faith that you'll prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're here in Hebrews 12, so it's only a little ways back, one page for me. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not foolish naivete. Faith is not pretending bad times or genuine suffering are not real. And faith does not insist that everything's going to be coming up roses, just hoping that it does. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I actually watched when I came in, and I didn't see anybody test their chair, reach down with their hand and put it on their chair to test it to see if it was going to hold them when they sat down on it. I was looking for that. I didn't see anybody do that. Why? Did you guys have faith that the chair would hold you? How did you know that? Oh, because you were here last week and it wasn't a problem last week. What about the first time that you came to St. Emilion's? Did you test that chair? Why did you have faith in that chair? Do you know the engineer that designed it? Do you know the people that built it? Stockdale realists face the facts. We're not getting out by Christmas. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, jumping down there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They faced the facts with faith. Faith in the ultimate end of the story, and we need to do the same. Which enabled them to survive in some of the worst circumstances that a mind could imagine. We will experience disappointments, crushing events in our lives. Things that will come along that we don't expect. A near-term example for me, I've got a smaller plant that I'm supposed to be doing about $500,000 or $600,000 worth of revenue per month. Well, we had a customer where, with all the supply chain issues, that we couldn't get the material for them, and that was going to cut into our revenue, $115,000 a month, and it happened immediately. All right, so that's a hurdle that's thrown up in life. What do you do about it? Now, it's easy for me to be able to just go to my boss and say, huh, it's supply chain issues. We can't do anything about it. How well do you think that would go over? No. We're responsible to find a way to make it over that hurdle. How else can we bring revenue in? And I give that to you as that's a real life situation. So you put a lot of emphasis on sales. So any salespeople sitting out there, oh, no, you do, that's true, but there are other things you can do. So looking at that, you find other ways to be able to overcome that obstacle that was put in front of you. Same thing for us. When we have a difficulty in our spiritual life, we need to be able to ask God for the wisdom and the intuition in God's intuition, not our own, and how can we overcome this obstacle? It's not that we want to just skirt around it. We need to overcome that obstacle and be able to move forward. Setbacks in our lives, there's things that come up, and oftentimes we'll say there's no reason for it. I can't figure out why. No one's to blame. Might be health or disease that we might pick up. Might be an injury that might have, an accident, losing a loved one. It might be following our friends rather than following God. And that's, in society, it's so easy because we spend so much time and we are seen as different and we should be different. For Stockdale, it was being shot down over Vietnam. He didn't plan for that. That was an obstacle that was thrown there. That was his shoe flying off on the fifth hurdle. Maybe both shoes and socks and his hat. What separates people is not the presence or absence of difficulty, but how we deal with the difficulties that we have. How we deal with the inevitable aspects of life. Wrestling with life's challenges, never forgetting the Stockdale paradox, which is to retain faith that you will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, willing to confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Do you get that? Confront. Confront the brutal facts of our current reality. Not back off. Again, spiritual warfare, we have that armor, but that's on the front of our bodies. And that is to protect us, not from running away. So the Stockdale paradox, faith and overcoming. Faith draws us to God. We know James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Interesting thing for me, and I think about that verse every time I go by a lone tree, especially a tree that's set out in a field somewhere. You see those large trees and they look so beautiful when the leaves are on them. For some reason, for me, I'm drawn to that. I oftentimes will stop a car and go out there and take a picture of it, especially if you can get the sun just right and you can place that into the trunk of the tree so then you get the light that shines out from behind it. I don't know why I'm drawn to that, but I am. And when I see a tree like that, that helps me to remember that God draws near to us when we draw near to him. And we draw near to him by developing and deepening that relationship that we've got with God. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We've all been blessed to be called and given an understanding of God's plan. We have trumpets, it's just a couple of weeks away, and then Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day, the last great day. Revelation chapter 21. And in verse 7, Revelation 21 and verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now in the book of Revelation, overcome is brought out 12 times. Fairly important. 12 times. We are, if you had to say, okay, what is my job as a Christian? In part, our job is to be overcomers. To overcome those hurdles in our lives, those difficulties in our lives. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. And we'll look at verse 24. 1 Peter 1. And verse 24. Because we are physical. That's a brutal fact if you want to look at it that way. We are physical beings. We have a physical life and we're going to have physical problems because of that. We are offered eternal life. That's where the faith that we will prevail in the end comes to play. Faith that sees the invisible, if you will. Only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible. And we've got here 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. And that's how we look at our physical life, if you will. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The Word of God will endure forever. And that Word of God needs to be written on our hearts. Our physical life's going to wither away, but we stand on the Word of God. We trust. We believe. We have faith in the Word of God and what it tells us. That's faith that leads to action. Not faith that is something that we just sit around and talk about, but something that actually leads to action. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you will. What God says will come to pass, will come to pass. That's faith when we're reading God's Word. Romans chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 35. Because when you've got the Holy Spirit plus God's Word, that will lead us to faith in the end that will prevail, regardless of what difficulties we have. Romans chapter 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 35. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What hurdle will separate us from God? Will it be something physical? Will it be something mental? Will it be something spiritual? A hurdle that Satan puts in our way that we cannot overcome by ourselves. But the beauty of that is God is there for us always. What can take away our crown? What can cause us to be deceived? Or is our faith so, so strong that it cannot be shaken? How strong is our faith? Here's a challenge for you. Think about this mentally. If I put a steel beam on the floor, right out in front here, and I said, all right, I'm going to pay $20 for anybody that'll walk across that steel beam. How many of you would walk across that beam? Quite a few. Quite a few would. Now let's take it and let's put it 20 feet up in the air. All right, same $20. All right, how many are going to walk across that beam now? A few less. Maybe quite a few less, okay. But now let's take that and let's put it, say we're in Chicago. I don't know Cleveland buildings, so in Chicago, you put it on the Sears Tower, and it's sticking out from the top level of the Sears Tower. For $20, how many of you are going to walk across that beam now? All right. Hopefully, I don't see any hands. But if that's the case, now let's take that same beam on the Sears Tower. It's the Windy City. The wind is blowing. Let's throw in a little bit of rain just to make it fun. All right, what would you walk out on that beam for? What would you walk out on that beam for? For the parents that are in here, if your child is out on the end of that beam, you're going to walk out there to save them. That parental instinct, you're not going to care as much about your physical life as you are about saving your child's life. Now change this up just a little bit and say, all right, now we're going to put the understanding of the Word of God out in the end of that beam. Will you walk out there for that? That's what God expects of us, that we will overcome any hurdle that is placed in front of us. Representing God's way of life, will you walk out there for that? Now, here's the thing, is that we can all sit here and say cognitively in our minds that, oh, yes, I'd do that. What really matters is when the rubber meets the road, when those types of hurdles that are placed in front of us, do we truly walk out on that beam to be able to embrace God's way of life, or do we stand back and watch the wind blow, watch the wind and the rain howl? We're in Romans 8. Let's look at verse 36. As it's written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we are more than conquering through Him who loved us. Paul is speaking to Christians who have experienced real suffering. Christians being persecuted by a power no less than the Roman power, the greatest empire at that time the world had ever seen. And in these verses, Paul is giving the message we often need to hear, and that is the message of the Stockdale paradox. Retain faith that you'll win in the end and confront your brutal reality that you have. Confront the brutal facts of your current reality. The Apostle Paul didn't sugarcoat it or rose-tint the sufferings. Instead, he carefully and precisely enumerated them. You're going to have hardships, and that means pressure. That word really means a pressure that's put on you that's going to be very, very difficult for you. You're going to have distress, a narrowness of the room, a calamity that comes upon you. You're going to have persecution, famine, nakedness that you'll have, peril, the sword. And it's not a sword as in a long sword that somebody's going to be dealing with. It's actually like a dirk, which is a shorter sword. That means that somebody is going to kill you close up and personal. So yes, they knew persecution. They knew the hurdles that were there. And yet they were working through them. Not on their own, but with the power of God working with them. Unlike the present society that believes that evil is an illusion, Paul did not make light of evil, and neither can we. We have the understanding of the Day of Atonement coming up, where Satan is going to be put away, and what a blessing that is going to be. Do we truly believe in the evil that we see in society today? Part of what was brought out in the sermonette today. Evil is real. Satan's real. Satan wants to derail us. He wants for our shoe to fly off on the fifth hurdle and for us to just stop and throw our hands up in the air. And yet, we need to continue on, drawing closer to God. Paul said these things are real. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, if you would. Because Paul said these are real. They may even be with us throughout our entire life, like Paul had a thorn in his side. So what is that going to be for us? What is it that we need to go through? But these are not the end of the story. Not even death is the end of our story. That's why God gives us hope in the plan of salvation and understanding through the holy days that we have. We know there's a time coming when God's way of life will be the only way of life on this earth. Isaiah chapter 2, a time when Satan will not be influencing mankind, a time of peace and prosperity that will result from living God's way of life. I have some scriptures in there that I call vision scriptures, and this is one of them. And I want to bring this out because to me, as a Christian, vision scriptures are ones that you keep in your mind, that you turn to when you have a hurdle or an obstacle that comes up. When you're running the hurdles, as I said, the first three steps, when you're coming out of the blocks, your head is down. And then you get up into full running position, your head pops up. You don't focus on the hurdles. There's 10 hurdles there. You know where they are. You've practiced. You've got your steps, three steps in between each set of hurdles. You look at the finish line. You look at and you envision crossing that finish line. These are vision scriptures that help me to be able to pull me forward when a difficult time is there. And as Christians, I'm sure we each have our own that we look at. Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How wonderful that time is going to be. Verse 6, or let's drop down to verse 9. People will bow down, and each man humbles himself, therefore do not forgive them. Oh, let's go to Isaiah 11, verse 9. A couple pages over. Isaiah 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters that cover the sea. So when we hear about the difficulties and the the strange things that are going on in society today. When somebody goes into a high school or elementary school and shoots a bunch of people, we know that that is going to change. It's not going to change because of anything that humans can do, anything that mankind can do. But for me, these are vision scriptures that help me to pull my mind out of society and be able to focus on God. These and many other beautiful passages that we have. Scriptures provide unwavering faith in what God will bring to pass. Do we believe them? Will we walk out on that beam for God's way? Whatever the difficulty is that's set before us. When running the hurdles, one of the things that we did was practicing was what we called a red leg drill. So think about it. What's a perfect, going over a hurdle, what's the perfect form doing that? It would be to just skim over the top of the hurdle. You go down a little bit too far, and what happens? You hit the hurdle. I had many times in track meets that I had to tape up my ankle with a piece of foam rubber on the inside of my right ankle, because when you go over and try to go over quick, you want to slap your bottom trail leg down and out. And if you do that too quick, you're slapping the ankle bone right on the top of the hurdle. Not a lot of fun. But as you practice, and the red leg part was with your lead leg trying to just barely skim over the top. In fact, we would put bottle caps on the top of the hurdle and try to knock those off without disturbing the hurdle at all. We tried quarters. We could get the bottle cap occasionally, probably more luck than actual good form, but we never could get a quarter without knocking the whole hurdle over. But the point is that constantly looking at how do you improve and going through our lives and the faith that we have and that we're building. And how do you build faith? You build faith by being obedient to God in a difficult situation and overcoming. And then that creates a foundation. We have examples in the Bible that give us and build to that foundation for us so that we can be encouraged to, all right, I can overcome this obstacle, this next obstacle. But constantly looking past the hurdles and focusing on the finish line. Revelation 2 and verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, definitely a hurdle, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Be willing to walk out on that beam for God's way of life. We can deal with it. We can get over it at the same time, because we've got help. Psalm chapter 124 and verse 8, put it in your notes. Our help comes from the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where does our help come from? So when I was doing hurdles, I had a coach. His name was Mr. Sorensen. And he would watch the technique that we had. He would give us encouragement. Try this. Here's a drill to be able to work on your trail leg. Here's a drill to work on your lead leg to be able to get it to where you snap that down a lot faster. He was a coach. Now, think about it. Does a coach get out there and run the race with you? No, he doesn't. He leaves you at the starting line and then goes typically down either to the finish line or somewhere in between close to the finish line. So as you're running those hurdles, then you can hear your coach if you're tuned into him. And he can say, okay, do this, do that, or do the other thing. It's pretty much too late by that time. You're not going to adjust going over the eighth hurdle. So the coach is there, and then when you finish, so just think about somebody that runs a marathon and their coach is there. What do you see? You see them just fall into their coach's arms. But the coach isn't really helping them along the way. That's the difference for us when we're running the race, a life that we have. Because God is there along the way. Each hurdle we're going over, God is there helping us. Not just talking to us and saying, oh, beforehand, practice this because it's going to be a trial coming up for you. But with us as we go through the trial. For those who genuinely seek to live in Christ, the finish line is not the only important part of our story. God is not sitting at the end of the race waiting for us to get there. God is intricately involved in our lives. The diamond hard center to Paul's faithfulness is not that God's plan will prevail at some religious end, but that God's presence and power are with us every step of the way. That's how we can confront the brutal facts. That's how we can have the faith to be overcomers. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We need the faith shown in God's word through Abraham. Think about him when he's offering his son. Well, think about, first of all, he was called to leave the land of Ur. He was obedient to that. That started to build his foundation of faith and built up. What about Joseph? He's thrown in the pit, sold, and then working for Potiphar, and then thrown in prison when he's accused of rape, in there for 12 years, and then overcomes. Think about those hurdles. What about David when dealing with Saul? Or look at it and say, David overcame a lion and a bear. That built foundation for him on his faith. So that when he faced Goliath, he could say, is there not a cause? And that cause was so strong in David, that cause to be able to live God's way of life, that he didn't look at some giant and say, I can't overcome this. He knew with God's help, helping him over each one of those hurdles. Daniel in the lion's den. The Stockdale paradox. Face the brutal facts with faith. We already know the end of the story. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 4. 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Now, that's not our own faith bringing that up by ourselves, but through God strengthening it and giving us that faith. And we know that because in Luke chapter 17, starts at the beginning of that chapter, and it's saying that, you know, don't offend a little one, and you need to forgive your brothers, but then that's 1 through 4. But then verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Question for each and every one of us. Is that something that we ask God for daily in our prayer? Increase our faith. Stockdale paradox. Retain the faith that you'll prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. So, confronting the brutal facts. We talk about confronting the brutal facts. In the book Lost in the Stream, Eric Bingham and Johnny Savage, they had a 56-foot fishing boat. The Ininga is what it was titled, what it was named. And they were going to go out on this boat on April 13th. They were going to go from Key West to Cancun, something they had done before, fishing trip that they were going to enjoy. It was a beautiful day, so they literally said, nothing ever happens during the day. Nothing ever happens during the day. That's why they chose not to put their emergency locator or life raft in the cockpit. They had it in the boat, but it was stored below. Because when they got to Cancun, they were just going to have to take it out, and because of the salt air, they were going to have to wash it up before they could put it away. So, nothing ever happens during the day. 90 miles into the trip, they were going along and they had 3-foot swells, which 90 miles out into the ocean wouldn't be much at all. But the problem is that as they came up over a 3-foot swell, they couldn't see the bottom coming down. It's what was called a rogue wave. And it was so large out in the ocean that as they crested and they went down, they actually came out of the water some. And when they hit the bottom of that trough, their 56-foot fishing boat snapped in half. When they went into the water, they then scrambled to try to come up for air. And when they did, it was the two of them and nothing else around them. Everything from the boat had sunk. Where was their emergency locator? Where was their life raft? Didn't have a chance for that. 90 miles out and they're treading water. 90 miles out. Can you imagine? Any of you done that? I unfortunately had a feeling of that, a little bit of a feeling, when I was down in the Houston area. I was able to go out on a fishing boat with some buddies, and we went out 26 miles, I think it was. There's a line basically in the Gulf there that it turns from a darker murky blue to a lighter blue. That was amazing. We went a little bit further than that, and then fishing, I caught a shark. So a shark was about three and a half feet long. Biggest fish I ever caught. I guess it's not a fish, but that's what I tell everybody. So just caught that, and then the other two that are there are putting their fishing reels away, and it could not have been 5 minutes later. And they tear their shirts off, and they say, one rule, one person has to stay in the boat, and they dive off the back of the boat. And this is like 26 miles out. And I'm like, that's easy. I'll stay with the boat. So they pop up, and they're 100 feet away from the boat. Because think about it. The boat is moving, even though it's not on. It's moving, so that when they pop up, 100 feet away. So they finally talked me into doing that, and I did. And that was the strangest feeling, where you can't see anything. All you can see is water all around you, and thankfully the boat. But when you jump in right next to the boat, and you pop up seconds later, and it's 100 feet away. Strange feeling. So, back to this story, the fact that they pop up and they're treading water, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what's going through their minds as this happens. Thankfully, a cooler pops up, and they both go over to it, and they reach the handles, one handle on each and one hand around each other, and they're being buoyed up by this white cooler that was floating, came back up from the boat. And neither of them were religious, but at that time they remembered their childhood and they started saying, Our Father who art in heaven. To imagine. Amazing how people get religion real quick. But then the surfboard pops up. So that was tucked in underneath the bow. But because the boat split in two, then that came out and it popped up. So Eric, one of the two, the first mate, was going to swim over to get that, and he had to swim through diesel fuel. And one of the things he said that he remembered in his mind was, please don't let me throw up the food that I've got going through the diesel fuel, because I'm going to need it until we can get rescued. He got over the surfboard and hung on to the surfboard. Life jackets then popped up. Two of the life jackets, they were able to put those on. A cruise ship then they see going by. They happen to have in the life jacket a flare, so their flare gun, they shot that off. Can you imagine how they felt when the cruise ship just kept going and went out of sight? Again, 90 miles out, and they're sitting there. In fact, it got to the point for Eric when this hurdle was thrown in his life, not expected, but it got to where Eric actually says that he took his life jacket off and he contemplated, I'm going to die. Do I want to die with sharks tearing my flesh apart or drown? He made the decision for the second one, took his life jacket off, let go of the surfboard, and slipped under the water. At that point in time, he said he felt a phenomenal warmth, and it came to his mind the fact to pick a line and paddle. Those words specifically, pick a line and paddle. So he came back up, grabbed the surfboard, grabbed his life vest, and he paddled over to Eric, who was the captain of the ship. And he got over there, and something they didn't know, because when that cruise ship went by, but Cancun had called Key West, because that's a normal path, and said, bad weather, rogue waves, don't send anybody out. So for them thinking that somebody else is going to come by, and they're now looking at that, nobody's out there. Well, it just so happens that they saw a small fishing boat, and they're yelling and screaming for this small fishing boat. As to why it's out there, they were like, wow, this is great. But then comes up right behind them, and a big horn goes off, and a 72-foot fishing cabin cruiser pulled up right behind them and saved them. So a difficulty they went through. So as they were screaming, and they finally got this boat, and they asked the boat, okay, why were you guys here? And they said, well, everybody was told not to go out. We had gone out before the warning came. And they said, we were going to Cancun, but then decided to turn and go to Cuba, which put them in the perfect path. And if it wouldn't have been for them, nobody else was out there to be able to get them. And their comment in the book was, no matter how bad things look, put your hope in the Lord. And these were people that were not religious. Pick a line and paddle, is what they said. Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. If you would please. Matthew chapter 16. Because Christ had to face the most brutal facts with unwavering faith in dealing with his disciples. And they didn't necessarily want to face the brutal facts. Matthew chapter 16 and starting in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples, so he was letting his disciples know what things are coming to pass. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. So we got Peter rebuking Christ. The truth was too much for Peter to be able to handle. Peter and the disciples. And the disciples, what do? They fled when they should have stood strong. When their obstacle was put in front of them, they chose to run off the course, to stop running the race instead of walking or continuing to go over the hurdles and finish the race and stand tall with Christ. They were in doing well for four hurdles. The fifth hurdle, problem comes up, the shoe flies off. What's our commitment? How many hurdles will we make? Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The word desire is interesting in these two verses here. So, desire to save your life, but it doesn't in the second part say desire when it's talking about losing your life. Losing your life is action. So it says whenever he loses his life, not whoever desires to lose his life. So the first part says desires, the second part does not. Matthew 16, verse 26 and 27. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. When we endure to the end, we will be rewarded in the kingdom of God. We must confront the most brutal facts. We must take on the hurdles that are set in front of us and faithfully stay the course with God's help. No matter what the trial is, we need to confront those brutal facts. And the brutal facts are anything that would divert us from our race, from staying on course to be able to finish the race. Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. So Matthew 26, 31. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd at the sheep, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Peter says he's willing to lose his life, but when it came down to it, how strong was his faith? Did his faith lead to the action that would potentially lead to him losing his life for standing up for Christ? The disciples could not come to face the brutal facts of what was going to happen to their Messiah and to themselves. And they chose protection of themselves physically. Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read this to you, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 5. Because Jesus understood the Stockdale paradox, the concept of it. He never doubted, and he faced the brutal facts, and he wouldn't turn aside for those. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And that's what we do. That's talking about building that faith. You have the base that we have for it, and then we build that through the example, just like I had mentioned with David. When David took on the lion and the bear, and he was able to, with God's help, overcome the lion and the bear. Then when Goliath comes along, his faith is strong and he truly believes, and it leads to action. So he knew that he would be saved from eternal death. Retain the faith that you'll prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties we run into. Jesus' prayer was to sustain him through this trial, as it is for us when we have difficulties in lives. To sustain us, help us to make it over the hurdles in life, confront those brutal facts as they come up. Jesus knew the outcome. He knew that he would be resurrected, that he would be saved. We must face those same most brutal facts of our reality. We must face those time and time again and know that we will come through. Stockdale made a statement of interest here. He made a statement, and it is, quote, "The test of character is not hanging in when you expect the light at the end of the tunnel." So the test of character is not hanging in when you expect that you can see a light at the end of the tunnel. "But performance of duty and persistence of example when you know no light is coming." So you're in the thick of it, you're having a trial, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I will tell you that that's where you use vision scriptures to be able to help increase our strength and faith that God is going to bring us to the end. The difficulties that we're going through, and have those core scriptures we go through. Like in Daniel chapter 3, if you'll turn there. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Very encouraging. Daniel chapter 3, because not bowing down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego called out for not bowing down to the idol, and they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "Bow down, or into the fiery furnace you go." And we love their response. Daniel chapter 3, and pick it up in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Talk about confronting the brutal facts of your current reality. Talk about having a hurdle that's thrown in front of you and having the strength of faith to say, all right, God can save us, but if he chooses not to save us, we're still going to follow God. We're still going to obey God. Faith that will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties. Like a hurdle race. If you hit the hurdle, you have to focus forward and keep going. You knock the hurdle down, it slows you down a little bit, you get back on track and continue to go and continue to move forward. If we break it down, the Stockdale paradox, the retaining faith, we've been called and shown the way of God. We will remain committed to this way of life. Put in your notes Jude, verse 3. "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly, and that means to exert intense effort on behalf of something, and that in this case is faith. Intense effort. It's not like something very simple, but we have to put intense effort to get there. And that's where the perseverance in overcoming comes into play. We're sitting here now, and we know the way of God. Will we retain faith? Will we prevail in the end, knowing that we will have all kinds of difficulties that we need to come through? So we're going to look at it in the end, when the chapter of our lives is closed, will we have endured? Christ said in Luke 18, verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Will he really find faith on earth? True, living faith. The faith that we are to be building day by day. And this with regardless of the difficulties we're coming to, confronting or fighting those brutal facts that we will have, the most brutal of facts that we have. So Stockdale paradox: to retain the faith that you'll prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time confront the most brutal facts of our current reality, whatever they might be. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Start to bring this to a close. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. So here we have Paul telling us that he's fought the good fight. I have finished the race. The key there, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have loved his appearing. Back to the hurdle race. The story that I started with. Shoe flew off on the fifth hurdle. I could have given up, but I didn't. I had my sock on that was getting very wet. And again, it was back in the time that I was running, it was socks that came up to your knee with a little stripe around them. Two stripes, I think. But I could have stopped. Nobody would have said anything to me. They would have said, better luck next race. But I didn't. I dug in, and I ran as fast as I could with that wet sock slapping the ground every time that I went. I kept up the three strides between the hurdles. Did the best I could with the form over the hurdles, driving between them. And I was able to finish the race. I was able to finish the race that day. But that's something that's physical. That's a physical thing, but it's also oftentimes part of our key, or part of our character. Key is to finish, to overcome. You hit a hurdle, you keep going. God promises a better reward for those who devote their lives to seeking the kingdom of God, even though this life has its unpleasant memories, the hurdles, the trials that we go through. Paul puts it in perspective when he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. God promises us eternal life at the resurrection. In the meantime, he will comfort us when serving him brings painful hurdles into our lives. God will provide that comfort. He will provide the clear vision and the way through that picture in front of us. Only those who can see the invisible, and that's the faith that will prevail in the end, only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible to overcome the brutal facts and become members of the family of God. Are you ready? Eric and Johnny were not. When their boat went down, they were not ready. Stockdale was not when his airplane was shot down. To them, it came as a thief in the night. Are we, as Christians, prepared? Are we ready for the hurdles that will be thrown into our lives? The faith, do we have the faith that will prevail in the end? Will we confront the most brutal facts? Are we ready? Nothing is impossible to those who truly put their trust in God and finish the race.